Welcome to episode 154 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Having used Lightroom 2 for just over a month now, I figured I'd talk today about some of the features. We'll touch on most of the new features that I'm aware of, and I'm not going to give a comprehensive view of everything. We can see a list of new features on Adobe's website, and there are plenty of other tutorials out there that will give you a much better look at the new features, much better than I can do. And so there's no use really reinventing the wheel. Rather though, I'm going to concentrate on the areas or the new features that I'm finding exciting and just touch on the other stuff that I've noticed, and not go into so much detail on some of the areas. So let's get right into it. The first thing that I was really pleased about, although this won't affect everybody, is that Lightroom 2 comes in both the 32-bit and the 64-bit version now. Because I'm using the 64-bit version of Windows Vista, this is great for me. I have 8 GB of RAM installed, so Lightroom can now effectively grab as much of that RAM or much more of the RAM on my machine than it used to be able to. And so, that's what I thought was going to be a big plus. To be honest, it was actually a little bit disappointing because, if anything, Lightroom 2 is actually a little bit slower than Lightroom 1.4 was running on the same system. And it's still very fast. And now that I've gotten used to the difference, I don't even notice the difference. But it was a little bit disappointing initially when I found that it wasn't there was no real improvement there. I'm looking forward to some performance tweaks in the minor updates that we'll likely see in the coming months, and will hopefully really benefit from having lots of RAM and the 64-bit architecture. The first thing that jumped out at me from the new UI was the library filter bar at the top of the grid view in the library. Now we can click on text, attribute, metadata, or none to filter out our images from the folders or collections of images that we have selected, or just drives and things. Select where you want to start from, and then you can click on these attributes or these text links. The first one is text. It's basically, this allows us to simply type in some text, as you might imagine, and then it will simply search the images for file names, keywords, captions, searchable metadata, and things that have those characters that you've just input in those places. You can change the logic so that we can search for images that do or do not contain the specific text. They can start with it, end with it, or contain all of it. I imagine that's pretty much like it has to be a total match, but I haven't really played with that, to be honest. The attribute tab allows us to list files based on their flag, rating, or color label. Another nice touch is being able to select only the master files or virtual copies, as well as both, of course. I use virtual copies quite extensively, but as I don't always want to see them all, you double up everything or triple whatever if you've got multiple virtual copies. And so I don't want to always see them in my list, so just selecting the master files is useful here. I also save virtual copies of everything that I print, with the slight adjustments that we often have to make to get the print to look like the original. So I can now find them more easily just by looking for virtual copies. I actually put them all into a collection called simply Virtual Copies for Print. And, so this isn't really a big deal, but having another way to easily search for these is nice to have. I love the metadata tab in the library filter. In here, you can select multiple criteria to fine-tune your selection, such as the date, the camera that you use to shoot the image, the lens that you used, as well as labels and keywords, you can add more columns and add things like, or just change the, you know, the target of the columns that you already have. And there are things like flash state, the serial number of the camera, the aperture used, or the ISO. Lots of things in the pull down there. This is really great for drilling down, as well as analyzing your images to see which gear and settings that you use the most, or the least for that matter. The None tab, by the way, just takes away all of the filters that you've been using. And so it just shows all of the images in the selected library, directory, or collection that you have selected. Another thing that I was very happy to see is support for network drives and offline drives. Now, if you have an external USB drive or a FireWire drive or something, or a network storage device, you can store your images on that and then import them into Lightroom 2 in that location. And then when the drive's offline, this used to kind of work before, but now Lightroom will gracefully show you that the drive is offline. It knows all about that, and you know you're not pulling the wool over anybody's eyes. And you know it just shows you the thumbnails or anything that it has cached. If you want to work on the files, of course, you have to get the device plugged back in or turn it on. But it's still useful to be able to see where stuff is. I find this particularly useful as I started to store some of my images, not all, but some of my images on some network storage, so that I can access it from my laptop as well as the main computer. But also, it means that I can access it from the laptop when the main computer's not on. So, you know, that helps. And basically now, you know, even if it's offline, I can still, from the laptop, I can still see what I have. And, you know, I don't want to actually copy all of these files to the laptop, though. You know, the hard drive in the laptop, although pretty big for a portable machine, I think it's 300 gigabytes. So that's, you know, that's still pretty big, but I want to keep it as free as possible for storing images that I shoot when I'm out on the road. So I really don't want to store a big library of images on there. The next thing that I was excited about, and remember that these are just my views and not necessarily what other people are going to think exciting about Lightroom 2. But one of the things in the order that I found them to be pretty cool was the post-crop vignettes. I mentioned this a few weeks ago in episode 151 when I spoke about a client pet shoot that I did in July. Basically, in Lightroom 1, when you added a vignette to an image for effect, basically darkening down the corners, bringing the viewer's attention to the subject, you would lose some of that vignette if you cropped the image because it was applied to the whole image and not the cropped area. Now, though, you can apply the vignette to the cropped area as well, you know, if you prefer. Both are still available. They're in the develop mode on the right-hand side in the right pane there. You can also adjust the roundness and feathering of the vignette, which I think is very nice touch. The midpoints there still. I think that was there before. Basically, though, there's a lot more control over the effect. I didn't really use this much in Lightroom 1 because I didn't like the restriction of, you know, not being able to carry that over into the crop. Not that I crop every image, but you know, it was just one of those things that I knew I'd probably forget, and so I didn't really ever get used to using it. The keyword list has moved over to the right pane in the library module. We also now have some powerful keywording tools. Lightroom 2 will give us a list of the most recent nine keywords that we've used. This means that if you're keywording similar files, you can simply click the keyword to add it to the image. Or a group of images, and if the image selected already contains the keyword, it will be highlighted, so you can click it to remove it from that image if you want to. We also have other presets, you know, rather than the latest keywords, and basically, you know, what we can do here is, this is probably actually the most important thing here in my mind. We can create our own keyword presets. There seems to be more presets everywhere in Lightroom 2. It's always been good for this, but it seems to be much better now. So what we can do is here in the keywords is create batches of keywords, say nature photography, wildlife, birds. We could create one, you know, for client work, say, or for street photography, and yeah, as well as locations. You could make a list of all of the locations that you go to a lot. And basically this, it just makes it easier to add, you know, you just select your preset and there are all your keywords, and then you can just sort of click on the button and you're adding keywords much more easily and quicker than before. Here's another real biggie that I've found to be incredibly useful, and this is one of the things that people have been raving about since the beta. Remember that I mentioned in the past that I only use Photoshop when I need to work on a part of an image rather than the entire image, which is what Lightroom couldn't do before. Well, now Lightroom 2 has the ability to perform local adjustments. This means that if just a part of the image is a little too dark or too bright, for example, you will be able to use Lightroom now to go in and change just that area without affecting the rest of the image. Just go to the develop module and click on the adjustment brush in the right top right corner, or hit the K button on your keyboard, and you'll see the various options that you can work with listed below. By default, you get a bunch of pluses and minus buttons to the right of the type of effect that you'll apply. I prefer to hit the little toggle button, toggle switch at the top right of the adjustments panel though. So that basically shows sliders for each effect. This way you can not only fine-tune the amount of each effect, but you can actually apply multiple effects at the same time. And so from the top here we have exposure, brightness, contrast, saturation, clarity, and sharpness sliders. Each of these does exactly what it says on the box, so I'm not going to go into detail. The last option here is color, which it's just like a little block of color that you click to get a palette, and you can then select a color from there or some of the presets. And this is what this can actually do. It can be used to paint in different color over certain areas of your image. To adjust the size of the paintbrush that you're going to paint with, you can hit the square brackets on your keyboard. This is the same as Photoshop and as before for, say, things like the dust removal tool, things like that. But just for thoroughness, you can hit those little square brackets to increase the size of the brush. Or you can use the sliders in the brush panel below the effect sliders. And a nice touch here is that you can actually define options for two separate brushes, brush A and B. And there's an erase brush as well, which you can also adjust. So there's a slider there as well to adjust the size of the brush. And below that, we have a feather, flow, and density slider. Well, three separate sliders. The feather, again, will select how quickly the effect fades off. And the flow affects how quickly the effect is applied. If you set the flow to, say, 50, you can paint the effect onto an image more gradually. And, so that basically the longer you paint, the more the more of that effect gets applied. The density defines, just as the name implies, how densely the effect is applied. The most useful part of this section in my mind though is the auto mask checkbox. If you turn this on, Lightroom will automatically detect the lines between obviously different parts of the image, and keep the little plus sign, the plus symbol that is in the center of the brush, in one part of the image, it won't flow over into the other one if there's an obvious line there. And this is incredibly useful if you want to adjust just part of your image and protect the others. It's literally just like masking them out. Say you're spray painting a car, if any of you have ever done anything like this, or painting a window or something. You put the old masking tape in there, and it just prevents the paint from spilling over into that. It's like having the ability to automatically mask out the things that you don't want to paint, and it really is very useful. For a really good look at how it works, I suggest all of these local adjustments have been covered in one of my fellow Photocast Network podcasters, John Arnold's podcast. If you want to listen to this or view, he does excellent videos. I suggest you take a look at the photowalkthrough.com website, and basically you can subscribe to this in iTunes as well. And John went into great detail on the local adjustments or the adjustments tool in episode 75 to 79 of the Photo Walkthrough podcast. John gives a great rundown of how they're all used with, visual, like I say, video, kind of like a tutorial. So it's a great thing to look at. And if you're interested in seeing a lot of the other stuff that I'm going to be talking about today as well, just watch right through to episode 84, because John's just completed 2 weeks of Lightroom 2 quick tips. And it's really incredibly useful, covers many of the areas that I won't touch on today. And this is one of the things that I'm saying, I'm not going to go into much detail on much of this, because there's much better resources out there to look at for this. Don't hit the stop button right now, though, on this podcast, because I'm going to continue now and go into some of the things that John hasn't covered yet and don't know if he will either. Another new tool that I that you can find on the left of the adjustment brush, and this is one of the things that John's covered as well, is the graduated filter. Access this tool with the M key on your keyboard, and this is very much like a graduated neutral density filter that you can use when you're shooting with a physical filter. Basically, that fits on the front of the lens, and it reduces the darkness without adjusting the color of part of the scene. And you generally have this soft graduated edge that you align with, say, the horizon or whatever it is that separates the light and the dark parts of your scene. The thing is that Lightroom, you can just totally adjust where you place it. You can do this with the filter, obviously, but you can do it intuitively after the event. You can also, though, change how soft or hard the graduation is, and you can tilt and turn it around and just play with it and see how the effect changes your image. You move it up and down to your heart's content. You, of course, can use multiple filters. This is something that gets a little bit more tricky in camera. And you can not only darken like a neutral density filter, but you can use, say, the exposure or the brightness controls to brighten as well. And you have all of the other options that we mentioned earlier that we were talking about with the adjustment brush. So that's exposure, brightness, contrast, saturation, clarity, sharpness. And you can select a color as well. So you can effectively use colored graduated filters to, say, warm up a sky or just about anything that you can dream up. It's great stuff. Let's jump back to the library module again, briefly to talk about a few other new additions there. Firstly, the spray can. That used to be for spraying keywords. I don't remember if there was anything else, but you used to be able to spray keywords onto various images in your grid view. And it now has a pull-down that contains labels, flags, ratings, metadata, settings, and rotation, in addition to keywords. The last option is one that I really like, and that is the target collection option. If you right-click one of the collections that you created to store images, the collections that you have your images logically grouped in, and then select Set as Target Collection from the right-click or the context menu for that collection, then the target collection spray brush basically will just throw the images that you spray into that collection. So it's really just a very easy way for making a quick selection. If you roll over something that is already in the selection, the spray can changes to an eraser, so you can remove them just as easily. I think there's the potential to be just spraying away and actually remove something that you didn't mean to as well, but I've not really played with this enough yet to see if that's a danger. The other new feature related to this is smart collections. And smart collections allow you to define criteria such as the number of stars that you rated your images with and add them automatically. Lightroom gives you a head start with a group of predefined collections for images that are, say, colored red, have 5 stars, have been added in the past month, have been recently modified. And one last one that, again, I really like is one that lists all images that have no keywords. This is obviously going to be really useful if you've not yet caught up on your keywording, as you can just go back and select this smart selection when you have some spare time and use the new powerful Lightroom 2 keywording options to give them some keywords that will help you define them further down the road when you've totally forgotten where you put them. There's something that I'd missed until I watched John's photo walkthrough video, and that is the new snapshots feature. Until now, I've been experimenting with images, and I just wanted to just save off just one copy at a given point. And until now, I would always just save a virtual copy, and yeah, that's still an acceptable way of doing it. But from now on, the need for this is going to be much less, because you can save a snapshot of that image at that point in the left pane of the develop module. And it really just saves all of the changes that you've made to an image at that point. And you can name the snapshot. So you could be making, say, a black and white version of an image, for example. And sometimes you think that you've got it right, you think you've got it as best as you can, but you want to play with the sliders some more to see if you can improve on it. And you could create a snapshot here and then do that that little bit more playing. And if you improve on the image even more, you could go back and discard the snapshot. If you find that you don't like what you've done, you could go back to your original snapshot and either settle for that or continue to piddle around with it again until you get something that you like. And this has got to be easier than like hitting Control Z or whatever to go back, because you never know quite where which point you were happy with before. And it's got to be easier than using virtual copies as well. So, I think I'm going to be using this a lot more, not just for this, but I'm sure there are many other times when this is going to be useful. And you'll always have the import snapshot there as well by default, so that you can go back to the image as it was when you imported it. Some people will be happy to see the we'll be happy to see the multi-monitor support that's included in Lightroom 2. I personally, right now, I used to, but I don't have multiple monitors anymore, or not that I use all the time. Since I bought a 24-inch wide display a few months ago, I actually don't have room for a second monitor at the moment on my tiny little desk in the corner of our apartment here in Tokyo. If there comes a time when I have more desk space again, when I get more desk space, I'll definitely be hooking up my old second monitor though. So, it's something that I do look forward to being able to use. For now, I had a play with this through using my TV, which is actually hooked up as a second monitor on my computer, but I just don't use it all the time as one. And I really like the way you can sort of... the first thing I noticed is that you can lock the second screen down to a certain image. And I noticed this from a right-click, again, the context menu option, which is just lock to second monitor. And then what that does, you're in the grid view, you can do this from pretty much anywhere, I think. But say you're in the grid view, you can select that and lock that image to the second monitor, and then you can continue to work through and keep that one up, and then compare it to other things. Once you have that second window open, you can change the mode from locked, which, as I say, keeps the original selected image open no matter what you do in the main window. You can change that to live, which displays whatever you select, or even roll over in the grid view or in the thumbnail strip at the bottom of the main window. Or you can select normal viewing, which just shows you the ones that you select and not just roll over. On the left of that, the bar on the top of the second monitor window, you can also select between grid, loop, compare, survey, and slideshow. If you go to the grid view, for example, you can use that to select the images that get displayed in the main window. So you're kind of pushing content back from the second window now to the first. And I can see that this is a really excellent way. If I had two monitors, I would use the main window for viewing the image, but then keep the grid view up on the second monitor to basically go through and make selections from the larger batch there. You can hide or show the second window in any mode using the buttons to the left of the thumbnail bar at the bottom of the screen. And this is, again, all good stuff if you're using multiple monitors. Moving along, I couldn't see a lot that had changed in the slideshow module, but one nice touch is the ability to now add an intro and an ending screen. This is nice to be able to just sort of throw up a logo or a bit of text introducing the slideshow. Skipping over the print module for now, I couldn't see a lot new in the web module either. I don't know if it's just that I missed it in Lightroom 1, but one thing is I like the way that you can easily select the size of the grid in the HTML menu now. It might have been there before, but it wasn't obvious to me before. There's probably other stuff, but I maybe didn't use the web module as much in Lightroom 1 as I've been doing more recently, so I didn't really notice anything else. Let's take a look at the print module now. You probably already know that I love printing, so I was pretty interested to see what had changed in the print module, and it turns out that there wasn't really a lot that had obviously changed. The first thing I noticed was the addition of a media type under the print sharpening option. This allows you to select a matte or glossy, obviously for the type of paper that you're going to be printing to, which is a nice touch as matte paper generally requires more sharpening than gloss. So Lightroom will now deal with that for us automatically. The other thing that I noticed is the addition of the ability to create print packages. And I haven't played with this a lot yet, but I feel this might be maybe a much more powerful tool than I'm currently thinking. But basically, you can add many different size versions of an image, and you sort of move them around on the page, ready for printing. And one area that I can think of straight off the bat that this might be useful for would be like in the past, a person has requested multiple sizes of the same image, and I might not always have that paper size available. So I'll print them out on a larger piece of paper, and then sort of cut them out with a cutting knife or one of those blades. And that works, but with this feature, I could specify all of the sizes that I need very easily, and then hit the auto layout button to have Lightroom put all of those prints into the most efficient sort of pattern on the page, and then print it out to trim. And if you add too many prints here, by the way, Lightroom will just automatically add a second page, or a third, I imagine, to accommodate all of your prints. There's also the ability to add cut guides, which is obviously that's going to add lines to the page to show you, where you need to align your rule when you're going to be trimming these prints, or if you're using a guillotine or something, these are all going to help to trim the photos nicely. I can imagine that this functionality is going to be good for creating a single page to show clients the various sizes that we can create for them as well. A few last things that I can think of before we finish are support for larger files than before. Some of my very large panoramas could never be imported into Lightroom 1 because it didn't support such big files. Now Lightroom 2 supports up to 65,000 pixels wide or long and up to 512 megapixels. So that should keep most of us pretty happy, at least until around the time that Lightroom 3 comes out. Collections are now available from all modules. So if you have your images in collections, you don't have to go back to the library module to select the images that you want to work on. There are also more output options, including better output sharpening options from the exporting panel. We can now select different sharpening for output, for screen, and matte or gloss printing, and of course select the amount of sharpening that we do as well. This to me is especially useful when resizing during output. Obviously when you resize images, they get soft if you don't do anything to them. So if you want to output, say, a bunch of low resolution images to send to friends or maybe to a client, before you had to sort of crank up Photoshop and load them in there and run a smart sharpen or an unsharp mask. But now you can do this in output, and you basically just, you select the size that you want to resize to, and then apply the sharpening for screen right there. And so you're ready to go as soon as you've exported the files. To begin with, I didn't think that there was enough new stuff in Lightroom to warrant the $100 upgrade, especially as I was not seeing any improvements in the speed or performance from the 64-bit architecture. And, really that was, for me to begin with, I was not so convinced that it was really a full upgrade. Having used it for over a month now, I'm very happy with it. It is a full upgrade, worthy of $100, and I'm enjoying my time in Lightroom more and more as I get used to version 2. All in all, Lightroom has continued to build on the original premise, that is, it's built with the needs of serious hobbyists and professional photographers in mind. They have continued to listen to feedback, it seems, from the users and incorporating what makes sense into the product. If you haven't tried Lightroom but wonder what if it really is as good as I say it is, go to the Adobe website and I had to consciously say Adobe then because they say Adobe in Japan. So I'm trying to make this as comfortable an experience for you as possible. So go to the Adobe website and it's like Nikon, isn't it? Nikon and Nikon. We say Nikon in Japan, so. Anyway, stop before I start rambling on that. Go to the Adobe website and download the trial version. It's actually the full version and will be 100% fully functional for 30 days after you install it. Use it for a month and I can guarantee you that if you are the sort of user that benefits from these features, you'll buy a license and make it part of your workflow. If you really give it a try and you find that you don't like it, that's great too. You've lost nothing, because it hasn't cost you anything. It's not just part of my workflow. I would say it's 98% of it. All of my photographic processing revolves around Lightroom, from transferring my files to the computer right the way through the majority of the post-processing for many of the images, and then right on to outputting web galleries to share with clients or printing my images for sale that people buy very kindly buy from around the world. And I only use Photoshop now to add a frame to upload to my online gallery. I used to use Photoshop for local adjustments, obviously, but now they're in Lightroom, and the surprising, to me at least, addition of the auto mask has really just taken this to a totally new level. So I reckon I'll be in Photoshop even less now than ever. I'll never not buy Photoshop. I'll never not use Photoshop totally. There's probably always going to be a few things that we need it for. And even with me that doesn't do a lot of playing around with images, I don't mind that. It's a different product. It has different aims and different objectives, so that's good too. We'll probably stick to both, and it it would be good, I think, if at some point there was a cheaper upgrade for people that have both Lightroom and Photoshop. You know, the upgrade prices are not extortionate. It's not a big deal. But when you imagine the amount of overlap that we're gradually seeing here, it would be nice if there was some sort of a package where you could get one or both a little bit cheaper if you own the other. For now, though, just continues to get better and better. And I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of the main or the key areas that I'm finding exciting in the latest version. So a lot of words there with little visual feedback, but like I said, there's a lot of great tutorials on Lightroom 2 out there, including the ones that I mentioned from John Arnold at photowalkthrough.com, and there's a host of material on the Adobe website. It's easy enough to find. There's obviously a lot of other stuff on the web as well, and some great books coming out now. I'll put a link to the Lightroom page in the show notes, just you know, so that you can take a look if you're interested. But like I say, it really is easy enough to find. One final note that I've just turned on the voting system for the Shadows assignment in the mbpgalleries.com website yesterday. And so that means voting is now on until the end of Sunday, the 21st of September. And there are many truly amazing photos in the assignment album. So even if you didn't participate, please do come along and take a look. If you have time to vote, then remember that you do have to be a member of the mbpgalleries.com website to be and to be logged in. And also remember that the account is separate from the main martinbaileyphotography.com website too. So you have to sign up twice, unfortunately, if you haven't already done so. Thanks to all of you that have uploaded images, by the way. You've really outdone yourselves again, and it's a pleasure to look through the gallery. That's it for today, though, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to what I'm excited about in Lightroom 2, and I'll be back next week with more Martin Bailey photography. You have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
Photocastnetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. Photocastnetwork.com.